bad. Amen. Come on and say hallelujah. That you're from the right family. That you go to the right church. No, that's not why. But the reason why you're more than a conqueror is because he loves you. Now, what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? It means to be a super conqueror. It means that you go into a battle and you're not equal to your opponent because you're more powerful than your opponent. It means that when you come to a place where you're about to battle, it means that God has given you a supernatural ability to overcome whatever comes in your way because of his love. And so what do I use? I use the weapon of his love because I know he loves me. I know I'm going to overcome. I'm persuaded about the power of God in my life. And so therefore, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than somebody who goes in. See, if you go in to battle and you say, well, I got 10 people and he got 10 people, we're just going to fight and make a bet. Best man win. When you go in the battle, it ain't made a best man win. This means when you go in the battle, you are the best man. And there's no doubt that it's set up. Amen. That it's a setup that God already set the race. He's already set up the match. In other words, God is the promoter and he already picked who he wants to win. You ought to get with me today. And you might as well buy your ticket now and watch this battle because I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to come on and say hallelujah. I'm not only going to fight the good fight of faith, but I'm going to endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm going to battle against the enemy because of the love of God, because I know he loves me. He's not going to leave me here, because I know he loves me. He'll give me strength. And you know what I love about this is that the reason why I'm more than a conqueror, he loved me so much that he gave me the Holy Ghost on the inside. He said that the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5, will shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. I wish I had somebody here. And so the Holy Ghost reminds me every time I'm in a battle that God loves me. The Holy Ghost is the Paracletos. He's the one that comes alongside to help me to do what I couldn't do by myself. And you say, I don't know how I'm going to make it through. The Holy Ghost say, yeah, I'm going to show you how to make it. Oh yeah, you say, I think I'm going to just give up and throw in the towel. And when you throw it, the Holy Ghost catches it and throw it back to you and say, you can't, because this is not your battle. This battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. This battle don't belong to you. So all you need to do is praise me. Come here, Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20:20. He said, you no need to fight in this battle because this battle is not yours. But put Judah in the forefront and let the praisers lift up their voices. Let them blow the trumpets. Let them shake the tambourines. Let them beat on the drums and watch what God does. Even with the enemy all around, God set up ambushments to Jehoshaphat, and he set up ambushments and they defeated each other. And they begin to fight. You know how the enemy is. He'll put people against you. Then he put circumstances against you. Then he messes with you on your job. All this stuff is coming against you. But then God falls in the middle of that. And God calls all those things to work against each other. But then I'm reminded of what he says just a few verses earlier in Romans 8. He says that all things. Do I have anybody here that can shout with me? Say all things. All things work together for the good of them that love God. And the reason why it works for my good, not just because I love God, but more importantly, it's because he loves me. Do I have anybody here, y'all just looking at me, that realize that God loves us and he's made us more than conquerors? Oh yeah, you're better than Alexander the Great. You're better than Julius Caesar. You're more than a conqueror. Do I have anybody here? You're better than any king that ever lived. You're better than Genghis Khan, who had to fight his own battles. But this battle, God will fight for you. So all the stuff that may be coming against you, you need to know that it is God's spirit and his love that will fight for you. But then Paul goes down in verse 38 and he begins to say, for I am persuaded. Now we understand that God's love is cohesive and his love causes us to be conquerors. But now we have to have confidence in the love of God. Do I have any witnesses? He said, for I am persuaded. And when you look at the word persuaded,
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I am twixt and between. I wanted to talk from Mark 14, 1 through 9, and talk about let the works I've done speak for me. Because there are so many of us who need to hear that what we do in this life makes the difference in the next life. And only what you do for Christ will last. And yet, I'm challenged to finish the message. I didn't get to really finish at 7:30, which is talking about our victory is in Jesus. And I think both of those messages are so relevant and needed, I might preach them both. If I don't get many amens, I'm gonna keep here a long time today. I just want us to know that the Lord is desiring to speak to our hearts sincerely and truthfully. But because there is a unction for me to share, turn your Bibles to John 16 and verse 33. And I want us to, as a congregation, read this verse because I want to lift out of this verse some principles that, if practiced, will profit you in this life and the life to come. All right. If you have it, say amen. All right. Read. Amen. You may be seated. Our victory is in Jesus. We've heard the song, Victory Belongs to Jesus. And, you know, we've heard and we've shared the testimonies of the victory of Jesus over sin, Satan, and death. But I want you to understand it as he is speaking to his disciples, preparing to leave planet Earth. He's getting them ready to understand how important for them to know the peace that he has to give that the world can't duplicate. The peace that he has to give must abide underneath the skin. The peace that he has to give is going to be the very essence of what carries them through their darkest nights and their most difficult days. What's important about this text is when he starts off letting them know, after they have said to him, we believe in you. We believe you're the one the Father sent from above. We trust that you are the Savior. And when they get through sharing all of these things, Jesus wants to let them know that in me ye might have peace. Now, I want to begin because what he's dealing with first is the dichotomy of life. He's dealing with the inner life and he's dealing with the outer life. He begins with the inner life because that's so important to every believer to know and to understand that you have got to get it right underneath the skin first before you can ever accomplish or be or become what the Lord would have you to be. He says this, that in me, in connotes relationship. It describes to us the fact that Jesus is saying he wants to make sure that you abide in him and he will abide in you. And the fact that when you understand that you have a relationship with Jesus, then you will discover that in that relationship, everything that comes to you has got to come to him first. Every problem, every situation, every difficulty, everything that would tend to hurt or harm you, it has to pass through Jesus first because you are in him. Now look at this, because he says in me again for a purpose. And this in suggests to us that anything that is in anything gets its growth, its strength, its development, its protection, its power, its all of that from what it's in. Just like the tree that's in the ground, in the soil, gets its nutrients and its supply and sources to live from the soil. It is in the ground. Because it's in the ground, it grows and it provides the fruit that it was intended to provide. When he talks about in is like the branch that is in the vine. Jesus made comment about that. He said that a branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine. In the body, all of our organs, the heart, the lungs, the liver, the kidney, all of those things you can't see from the outside of the body, but they are inside making the body work. In. It's like a resident in a house. He's protected from the elements because he's in the house. It's important to recognize this relationship of being in is important to Jesus. If it's important to Jesus, it ought to be important to us. Now listen at this, because when he moves from this point of being in, he says that you might have peace. Now listen at this, might, not because it's a throw up whether he'll give you peace or not, but might refers to whether or not we make the choice to be connected and inside of Jesus. Whether we recognize that what he offers is for our benefit, that what he gives to us is beyond what we can give to ourselves. He says peace. This word comes from the Greek word irene. And so it literally means to be in or connected in. It means to be, have salvation, security, and prosperity. All of this is in the word peace that he gives to the believer. Now, when you have the peace of God, Paul already said 4th chapter, Philippians 6 through the 7th verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. Listen, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth, what? All understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what is that saying to us? When you have that peace that Jesus offers, it will pass, move beyond your ability to comprehend how you keep on going when you should have been ripped apart. How you go through stuff and you should have lost your mind, but the Lord kept it. It proves that the peace that he gives you the ability to know that there's no way on your own you can make it through. But because you trust in the Lord, he takes you through. And sometimes you don't even know how you go through. That's why the songwriter said, my soul looks back in wonder how I got over. But it's the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that keeps our hearts and our minds, listen at this, through Christ Jesus. It has to be filtered through him. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things, how? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, I want us to understand this. He's giving them this ability to know that the peace that he gives them is in him. You can't have it outside of him. See, that's why folk who don't have that peace don't understand what makes you tick. The people that don't have this peace don't understand how your rejoicing when you ought to be crying is so evident that everything is going to be all right, even if it isn't all right. The people that don't have this peace don't understand that you put your trust in a God you can't see, who can open doors that you can't open. When you begin to have the peace of God on the inside of you, it makes others without that peace wonder, how do you make it? How can you stand it? And how can you take it? Somebody ought to say, our victory is in Jesus. But again, he's preparing them for the second part of the dichotomy, and it is the outer life. He says, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. Now notice he doesn't say might. In this outer life, he says, shall. It's a certainty. You will have them. Ain't no way to get around them. So here's what he's helping the believers to understand. Don't think that in this world, because you have Jesus, you're not going to go through anything. If you read your Bible, you will know those who were connected with God went through. And the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. See, you got that peace in knowing you're going through to get to what God's got for you. You have the peace in knowing that God has got this thing fixed. You got the peace in knowing that everything that God permits you to go through is for your better good. Now listen at this, because he says, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Well, this word tribulation is associated with everything that's not like God. Problems, troubles, afflictions, oppression, depression, distress, everything that's not like and of God. But here's what I need you to know, that everything you go through, every trial that you confront is, listen at this, say that every trial is a test for the believer to know that God is able to see him or her through. Every trial is a training agent for faith. Every trial is developing you, defining you. It is maturing you. It's bringing you to the place where God wants you to be. You become what God wants you to be when you go through your test and trial. The late great Andre Crouch said, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank God for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. If I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them, and I'd never know what faith in God could do through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. Not some things. All things, not little things only. All. Everything that you go through, God has permitted it so that you can benefit from it. How many of you truly know the battle is not yours but the Lord's? Now keep in mind, if you're in Christ Jesus and he fights the battle and you are in him, what are you doing? I'm going to give you a helpful holy hint. You're there for two reasons. One, to give him praise, to cheer him on, to give him glory as he fights the battle. If you're going through and it looks like you're going through the battle, but the truth of the matter is it's his battle, but he has you there. So while he's fighting the battle for you, you can give him praise, glory, and honor. But listen, when you come through, when he wins the victory, you're there to collect the spoils that he's won for you. That's not nothing to shout about. I need to stop this message right now. You're going through what you're going through because Jesus has already set the terms of that battle. He would not put anything on you you can't handle. He's already saying that. So listen, he does this so that we will know that while we're going through the battle, we've got peace. When David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Doesn't that mean he's got peace? Here's the reason why he says he won't fear, for thou art with me. If Jesus is with you, what are you fearing? What are you whining about, crying about, depressed about, oppressed about? Why are you acting like he's far from you? And so you'll begin to recognize every tribulation turns into a triumph for the believer. Well, Lord, I've never been through this before. That's why I'm taking you. And when I give you this experience, you're going to be stronger when you come out of this thing. Well, but it don't look like I'm going to come out. Well, that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. If you trust him, listen, and know that what he has in you is greater than what is in the world, then you begin to realize Jesus holds our victory. And then after he tells us, warns us, so that we don't worry, when stuff comes our way, We need to take it to the Lord and leave it there. Then he tells us, be of good cheer. Now, you just got through telling me I'm going through tribulation. And then you tell me, be of good cheer. And the verse is saying, yeah, because before I told you you were going through tribulations, I told you if you're in me, that I'd give you peace. So when I gave you peace in the first part of the verse, don't you know that peace takes you through tribulation? And if the peace takes you through the tribulation, then you ought to be of good cheer. Let me give you, it has several, cheer has several meanings, but the two that best fits this text is comfort and courage. Do you know you confuse the devil when you're going through mess and you still have joy? When you throw your hands up in the air and the devil get excited, he's about to surrender, she's about to surrender, and then you start a praise. Paul and Silas was locked in a jail with criminals who didn't know Jesus. And the Bible says at midnight, at the darkest point of their night, they decided, listen, we can complain and we can cry and we can act like the Lord has let us down, because here we are in a Roman jail going through what we ought not be going through because we lifted up the name of Jesus, and now this is what we get. But what they did instead was start a praise party. One began to pray and the other began to sing, and the Lord said, listen, let me open up these doors for y'all. Ain't no sense in keeping y'all here no more. You got the message. You got the message. And listen, they were so impactful in the midst of their midnight experience that they offered up to God praise and prayer, and God opened up their jail cells. What does that say to us? When we're going through the darkest times of our lives, we ought to learn how to pray and praise and watch God shake up your situation. That breakthrough came not when they complained, but when they prayed and praised. That's a helpful holy hint to us. Be of good cheer. But the word also says, if you look at the deeper underlying meaning, be of good comfort. Because in the end, you win. Through Jesus Christ. Be of good courage is the other definition for that word cheer. Be of good courage. Listen, don't let the devil cause you to faint, to become so weak that you stop trusting God, believing God, knowing that God has got the last word. And when you trust him like that, he shows up and shows out. And then the last part of that verse says, I have overcome the world. I have. Now you got to remember, if he has and you're in him, then that means you have. Now, because he says, I have overcome, that literally means he came over. He won the victory. He is the winner. And it is in the world that hates him. So let me tell you something. Folk that hate you, you can overcome them. Folk that don't like you, talk about you, pull you down, rag on you.